If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Kings chapter number 5 and then Psalm chapter number 4. Psalm chapter 4, we'll read the verse and then we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 5 for the message. I'm not sure how the Lord is going to lead exactly, how far we'll get today, but we just want to mind Him. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 4, verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Doesn't always happen this way, but I laid down last night to rest. It was a little after 11. And I'm telling you, God flooded my soul. I began to pray. I don't know how long I prayed for individuals that the Lord would bring to my mind for different needs. And I just had a sweet time of fellowship with my Lord. I hope that you know what that is. I hope that the only worshiping you do is not in church. I hope you know what it is to walk with Him on a daily basis. I believe sometimes, and I'm not fussing at you, I'm using the word we get so busy, we run right past Him. He's got such a blessing that He wants us to have. Now, I believe that's why the psalmist said to be still and to commune with our own heart, amen, and worship Him. Look in 2 Kings chapter 5 with me, please. And I just want to take a minute and pray, and then we'll start reading and get into the message. Father, thank you for these that have gathered today. Lord, we come together to worship you. We come together because we need you. We need the word of God. We need to be encouraged. Lord, you told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And Lord, even so much the more as we see the day approaching. Lord, our nation, Lord, is so divided. And Lord, I just pray that some way, Lord, we could get back to the principles, our Lord, of the Word of God. Lord, you reward work. You reward our Father righteousness. And I pray, Father, that there be a generation that would be raised up, that would realize, Lord, that everything's not free. Somebody had to work for it. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a generation that would realize the price that men and women have paid, Lord, with blood for our freedom. And Lord, that you'd bless our nation. Lord, don't let us go the way of other nations. Don't let us go to the dogs, our Lord. Lord, I pray you'd forgive us, our Lord. Our God, I believe the church has been silent, been quiet, Lord, while sin is rampant on every hand. God, help us to take up our Bible, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and Lord, to stand, and Lord, and having done all, to stand in this evil day. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your people. God, speak to our hearts today. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In 2 Kings chapter 5, I want to call your attention to a man by the name of Naaman. The Bible has a lot to say about a lot of different things, and all these Old Testament stories were put there for our admonition, for our learning. We get our doctrine from the epistles, and we get our doctrine from the New Testament. But God said, I wrote this old Bible so you could learn from it. There's some truths that we can learn from. And I want to look at Naaman and stand in awe of what God has done in this man's life. Naaman is a captain, the Bible said in verse 1, of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man. And his master, with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. And then the word of God uses a little word, but he was a leper, the word of God said. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. That would be Joram. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes, and he said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that was a sign of distress and despair. And he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, or he was mad, he was angry, and he went away, and he said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Art not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. How many believes there's somebody standing in awe right here? Amen. God had given the word. And a man, beloved, took the man of God at his word and obeyed what God, he was reluctant about it. We're going to look at some things. But when he finally did it, beloved, I'm telling you, beloved, listen, when you finally take sides with God against yourself, when you finally admit you are just exactly what you are, when you finally make it to the cross of Calvary, you too can stand in awe and know that you've been made clean in the blood of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Elisha, beloved, didn't want this man to be mixed up. He didn't want this man to be thinking that you could buy the gift of God with money, with gold, or with silver. Amen. He wanted him to know that the God of Israel was different than the God of the Syrians. He was a God that was alive. He was a God that was gracious. He was a God that was merciful. He was a God, beloved, that cared about him. He was a God, beloved, the God of heaven. Let's go back now in the story. We may read a little bit more a little later on. But I want to just break the message down today, if I can. First of all, I see in the message a leprous man. You can't miss that. In the first verse right here, the Bible said, but he was a leper. He was next to the king in Syria. He was a successful man. He's the kind of man that rides around and's got all the medals on his chest. He's in a chariot. He's the kind of man that, beloved, the common man would look up to. He was in an elevated position, but he was a leper. Let me tell you this, in the Bible, leprosy is a type of sin. It doesn't matter, beloved, listen, whether you live in a tent, a cardboard box, or a mansion on the hill. Without Jesus, you're a sinner, lost and undone without God, and on your way to a place called hell. I believe, beloved, listen, there's something going on here. Naaman's name means pleasant. It means pleasantness. It means beautiful, agreeable, delightful. You say, preacher, wonder when he got his name. When we all get our name, when we're a baby. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't long, beloved, listen, when that leprosy kicked in, that they understood, beloved, that this man could no longer live up to that name. There's nothing beautiful about leprosy. There's nothing beautiful, beloved, listen, about having to go down the other side of the road and cry unclean, unclean, and not be able, beloved, to dwell with your loved ones. There's nothing beautiful about that. It caused a separation. You say, well, preacher, I'm a sinner. I've never been saved. I'm not separated. Oh, beloved, you are, but you don't know it yet. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. You say, I'm walking among the living. No, you're walking among the dead. And, beloved, when we die without God, then we're separated forevermore. And so we see a leprous man. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that Naaman is the man that would do just about anything. Give just about anything. You want to know what's sad? I believe in Kingsport, Tennessee, if a ticket to heaven cost $5,000, there'd be more people going to heaven than's going to heaven. I believe if it cost $50,000, there'd be more people going to heaven than's going to heaven. But beloved, listen, you can't buy it. The book of Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Beloved, listen, the price has already been paid. It's been paid at Calvary. It cost Jesus his life that we could be forgiven of our sin. Money can't buy it. Money can't buy it. Beloved, you can't bargain. You can't barter for it. It takes the blood of the Lord Jesus. He's a leper. But listen, as I read this, there's something else that stuck out in my heart and in my mind. We see a leprous man, and we've already read in your hearing, we know that eventually he's going to get some help. But listen, let's look at it in the beginning. How was all of this initiated? Let me tell you something today, beloved. Listen, we asked prayer for Brother Colt. Brother Colt's going to Alabama. Where are you going this week? Anybody going to Walmart this week? Anybody going to the drugstore this week? Anybody going to the gas station this week? Anybody going to the pharmacy this week? Anybody going, listen, are you listening to me? Anybody going to work this week, going down to school this week? You say, preacher, where in the world are you going? I'm telling you, beloved, you don't have to be a preacher to help somebody that's got leprosy to get the cure that they need. Not only do I see a leprous man, but I see a little maid. Look in verse number 2. The word of God said, then the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid. Oh, praise God, Brother Colt, she wasn't bitter. Amen. She was made a slave in the land of Syria, but her mind could remember the man of God back home. And she said to this, listen, if you can just get Naaman back over yonder where the prophet of God is, he can get the help that he needs. Amen. God used a little maid. And God wants to use you. God wants to use me. Beloved, listen, we don't know the little maid's name. I'll tell you this much right now. There's one man today that's thanking God for a little maid, and his name is Naaman. That there was one that knew that back over yonder was the help, amen, that I can find in the Lord. Watch what the Word of God said here. And the Syrians had gone out by companies. brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, oh listen, this is her prayer, would to God that my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, thank God for the little maids that have some confidence in the man of God, that have some confidence, my friend, not only in the man of God, but in the God of the man. Realizing, beloved, listen, that the power is not in Elisha. The power is in Elisha's God. Oh, I was reading over yesterday, beloved, listen, I got excited. That man down there chopping wood by the river, and the head of the axe flew off. You say, preacher, you really believe in these miracles? Yeah, I'm standing in awe. You can sit, beloved, listen, and think it's a dull story if you want to. But he said, man, I'm in trouble. That was borrowed. What am I going to do? Elisha threw a little stick in there, and the iron did swim. You say, preacher, you don't believe that, do you? I believe every word of this book. Oh, thank God, beloved. There are miracles upon miracles upon miracles. And God wants to do a miracle for a sinner today. I want you to trust Jesus. I want you to know that though you came in dirty, you can go out clean. Though you came in guilty, you can go out forgiven. Though you came in on your way to hell, you can go out on your way to heaven. That's what the Word of God is saying. And there's just a little maid that made the difference. A little maid initiated. Listen, if you're not careful, you'll let the devil back you up in the corner and tell you you ain't nobody. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, you're somebody. If you're saved, you're a child of the King. If you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Amen. If you're saved, you may not have the cure for cancer, but praise God, you've got the cure for sin. Jesus lives in your heart and lives in your life, and he needs to be shared with others. Would to God I could get my master back over there and to that prophet, to that man of God. Let's look here. Not only do we see a leprous man, not only do we see a little maid, but we see the Lord's man. Look in verse number 8 with me, please. The Word of God said it was so when Elisha, the man of God. I'll tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. I believe this with all my heart. I know that the term man of God is generally used of a preacher or a pastor or a missionary or a prophet. But I'm going to tell you, every daddy in this room today ought a desire to be a man of God. Say amen. I believe you ought a desire, Brother Preston, to be a man of God for these teens, to be a man of God for those babies, and be a man of God for that precious wife that God has given you. We need some men of God in this generation, some men that will stand up for what's right. The Word of God said it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me. I really believe that if you wanted to look at typology, this leprous man is a type, are you listening, of the sinner. I believe the little maid is a type of the soul winner. And I believe Elisha is a type of the Savior. The Savior today is still saying, let him come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. That's what God wants to do, is give rest. Give rest. Thank God for the rest that he gives. The Word of God said here, come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door. Listen, enter into this story with me a few minutes, would you? Let's not just read over it, gloss over it. I mean, he's pulling up there in a chariot. I mean, listen, I don't know about you. There was a pickup truck that pulled up in my driveway yesterday up near the building, and Miss Eve said, there's a white pickup truck up there. I said, is it Brother Jim? That's what I said. I didn't know anybody else, Brother Jim, that would pull up to my building up there, you know. But it turned out it was somebody working on the power lines or the phone lines or the cable lines or some kind of line. Amen. They piled out of the truck, and it wasn't long, here come another truck, and they didn't ask permission. I don't guess they have to. Amen. But anyway, they was up there. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, we looked out the window, and there's a truck, and they got out with hard hats, and we didn't worry no more about it. But if I looked up there and there's a limousine, say amen, I might want to find out who's in it. If it had the presidential seal on the side of it, I definitely want to find out who was in it. Amen. But you say, preacher, what are you trying? I believe that's what it was like when he pulled up to Elisha's place there. I mean, I believe, listen, there was a lot of prestige involved. I believe really what we're going to find out in the story, there was a lot of pride involved. You know what's keeping a lot of people from getting what they need? Their pride. Their pride. You say, preacher, what happened? Here he pulls up, he's got his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Now this fella, I believe, has got it in his mind. He's already got a preconceived notion. When I get down there to the prophet's house, that prophet's going to come out. You can read it right here. I just read it a little while ago. That prophet's going to lay his hand on me. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here's some things I want you to notice about the man of God in this story. He ain't got no show to put on. He's just the opposite of what's going on the television these days, where they always want to put on some kind of show. The man of God's not in the business. Look at me. Look at me. The man of God's in the business. Look at him. Look at him. He wasn't interested in putting on no show. He just sent his messenger. Well, guess what? He said, preacher, where are you getting at? Guess who he sent today? He sent his messenger. Oh, you say, preacher, you talking about you? No, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the God of heaven. I'm talking about the one ain't nobody ever been saved. Listen, he shows up. He's the one that convicts of sin, of righteousness, and the judgment to come. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you another comforter. One just like me. Thank God he convicts us. And then he comforts us when we come to Jesus. Watch this now. The Bible said here, Elijah sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. For lack of a better word, Naaman is highly disappointed. He was looking for a personal encounter with Elisha. He was looking for some big to-do with Elisha. By the way, people are going to go to hell waiting on some big to-do because they missed the small, still, small voice of God that said, I love you. I'll save you. I died for you. Oh, beloved, listen. You don't need to be looking for lightning. You don't need to be looking for the fire. You don't need to be looking for the wind. You don't need to be looking for the earthquake. You need to be listening for God's still, small voice. God's not in the show business. And I'm going to tell you right now, beloved, when he shows up, you'll know it. Amen. I went to church that Sunday night. I wasn't looking for him, but praise God, he was looking for me. Hallelujah. The Word of God said here, Elisha sent a messenger and said, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. He's looking for something spectacular. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman, watch this, but, there's that word again. But Naaman was wroth. You say, preacher, what's that mean? That means he's mad. Y'all know what that means, don't you? You mad, ain't you? I was preaching one time, and this lady had a little niece with her that I don't reckon ever heard preaching. And while I was preaching, she looked up at her aunt and said, he mad. Said, no, honey, he's just preaching. No, he mad. Said, no, he's just preaching. He's preaching the Word of God. No, he mad. He really mad. Y'all know what it is to be mad. He's wroth. He's indignant. He's disappointed. God wants us to stand in awe
of how he works. You say, how was Naaman going to be cleansed? Same way you and I were, by faith. God wasn't giving him something to see. He was going to have to, Brother Rose, act on the word of the Lord that God's man gave him. Somebody said, boy, if I could just see something, I'd believe. God said, if you'll just believe me, I'll show you something. You got it backwards. You got it backwards. Watch what the Bible said here. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Thy flesh shall come again to thee. Thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. And he went away and said, behold, here's where we get messed up, I thought. Say amen right there. I thought. You know, it really don't matter what we think. It's what he thinks that matters. It's what he says that matters. I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I'm going to tell you something. It didn't go like he thought, did it? Didn't go like he thought. Oh, beloved friend, it did not involve a show. It was a lasting, we see the Lord's man, but we see a lasting message. You say, preacher, what kind of message do you see in this? There's 3 things concerning the message, and I'll close with this today. He said here, here's his thinking. Up there in Syria, there's some real pretty rivers. The water's clear. You could probably see the trout. He said, what's wrong with these rivers? One of them there is Abana and the other one's Farfar. He said, preach, I don't understand the contrast. The Jordan's muddy. Here's a fellow, beloved, listen, that's going to have to get down off of his high horse and dip in a muddy river in order to be cleansed. He didn't like that. He didn't like that one bit. You know what? There's a lot of people that will never come to Jesus. They don't like that bloody salvation. They don't like that bloody Bible. They don't like that bloody songbook. Give us something new. I say I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. This old book's not what's broken, beloved. You and I are what's broken. This old book don't need to be fixed. You and I is the ones that needs to be fixed. Hearing the Word of God, watch this. He said, are not Abana and are the rivers of Damascus better than all? Watch that. All the waters of Israel. You know what's going on in our generation? Some folks think they found a better way. They think the church ought to look more like a dance concert than a worship service. They think it ought to sound more like a rock concert than a worship service. They got something better. Listen to me this morning. Jeremiah said, seek out the old path. And he said, when you find it, walk therein. But you know what the children of Israel said? We will not walk therein. A whole lot of people saying that. But I tell you what, by the grace of God, I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. And I want to stay in it. Watch what the Word of God said here. I want you to see something. You remember the little maid? What's her name? You know her name, Brother Thurman? I don't either, brother. God knows her name, don't he? She got all this started. Now I'm going to show you something else. Now listen to me. God might use you to get it started in somebody's life. Get them started towards Calvary. Get them started towards the Lord. But sometimes people need a little help after they get started. Watch what the Word of God said here in verse number 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him. What's their name, Colt? You don't know their name either, do you? but God knows their name. The servants came near, and they spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? These servants have got some wisdom about them. They're saying to their master, Naaman, Naaman, if he had told you to do some great thing, you'd have been out there like if he had told you that salvation was 50 shekels of silver, or you could be cured of your leprosy for 100 shekels of gold. You'd have just been shelling the gold out. Reminded me, Brother Ralph, when I studied this with my grandpa, and I know I've told this before. Grandpa was witnessing to an old farmer. Grandpa got saved. Grandpa was not ashamed of Jesus. When he went in a restaurant and prayed, he prayed in his preaching voice, Brother Ike. Oh, God, thank you for our food. Thank you, God, for saving me from a devil's hell. I mean, his hamburger's cold. Time he got through, said amen. Had a fellow with him one time, and that fellow looked at my grandpa. My grandpa's name was John. He said, John, he said, when you prayed, he said, everybody in this place bowed their head. Grandpa looked at him and said, yeah, except you, you buzzard. How could he have known that if he wasn't looking? Amen. Grandpa's witnessing to an old farmer. That old farmer said he wanted to be saved. Grandpa said, God will save you. He said, you're going to have to crawl down off this porch. You're going to have to crawl right out there with them pigs and wallow in that mud. And you'll come back and crawl back up on this porch. He said, God will save you. Grandpa said that old man got up out of that rocker on that porch, started crawling down off them steps. Grandpa said, come here, come here. You don't have to do that. He said, I just had to know you meant business. That old man was willing to crawl out there in that mud with them pigs to escape the damnation of hell. But he didn't have to do that. All he had to do was take God at his word. Trust Jesus as his Savior. The servant said, he had told you some great thing when you'd have done it. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. This message is a lasting message because it was a message concerning three things quickly. His will. His will had to be broken. God wasn't going to do it his way. He was going to have to do it God's way. God ain't going to do it your way and my way. We're going to have to do it his way. And number two, it was a message concerning his washing. The Word of God said he went down and he dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. You can't tell me, beloved. Listen. Ooh, that's good. He just wanted to get rid of the leprosy. But how many would like to have the flesh of a little child again? Brother Rose, look at the back of my hands and your hands. We'd like to have it back, wouldn't we, brother? In other words, it was a lot better, Brother Thurman, than even he thought it was going to be. He didn't just get rid of the leprosy. He got restored. Just like a little child. That might not help you, but I'm just standing in awe. I didn't know what to expect when I asked Jesus to save me. But I got a lot more than I expected. I tell you that. I got a lot more than I expected. His washing. Now watch this. Let's go on down just a little bit and I'm done. He returned to the man of God. And he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. See, up there in Assyria, they had them pagan gods. But Naaman, he ain't interested in no pagan god anymore. He wants to serve Brother Ralph, the God of that little maid. He wants to serve the God of that man of God. And he wants to serve the God of Israel. You say, Preacher, how do you know that? Watch this with me. Behold, now I know there's no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. It's already done. And he wants Elisha to take something. You see, back over yonder, if you look in verse number 5, I mean, he was loaded. He had 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold. He had a lot to offer. But I told you a while ago, Elisha didn't want a mixed message. He didn't want him going back to Syria and saying, if you got enough gold, you can get healed. If you've got enough silver, you can have the God of Israel, not for sale. Amen. Watch what the Word of God said here. Behold, now I know there's no God in the earth but in Israel. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. This is Elisha. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Elisha said, no, not going to do that. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. There's a question mark about why that he wanted this earth. He wants to scoop up some earth in Israel and take it back over to Syria. There's a question mark. In my heart, I believe he just wants to remember. I'm not supposed to be worshiping the gods of Syria. I'm supposed to be worshiping the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. Say amen. The God of Israel. Watch this now. In this thing here, in this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth to the house of Rimmon to worship thee there, and he leaneth on my hand, I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. These are those idol gods. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. And he departed from him a little way. This message, this lasting message, was concerning his will. It was concerning his washing. But it was concerning his worship. Beloved, after you meet God in faith, whatever you was worshiping before needs to be left behind. And God wants us to worship Him. He seeketh such to worship Him. Have you been made clean? Are you a worshiper today of the Most High God? Would you take the place today of a little maid in somebody's life? Would you take the place of a servant? Maybe somebody's on their way, but they've hit, I call it a hitch. Something's got them hung up. Bob, we use that term turkey hunting. We want that turkey to get within about 40 yards. Sometimes they'll act like they're going to come right up the gun barrel, and they get out there about 60 yards and just look at you and gobble, knowing you can't do nothing about it. Unless you're in Virginia. You hunt them with a rifle over there. It don't matter where they stop over there. They're going to get eaten. Amen. You say, preacher, you wouldn't do that to them turkeys. That's the only time in my life that I believe it's all right for a grown man to sit at the base of a tree and act like a girl. Gary Joe, don't you laugh at me. You believe it's all right, too. I know you do. Sound just like a girl. Put your best girl voice on. Beloved, I'm standing in awe. Not just because God did it way back here, because God's still doing it today. Some leper's going to bow in that prison this week, Brother Cole. He's so unclean. He's so ashamed. He's so guilty. He don't think there's any hope. But God's going to send him that lasting message. Christ is our hope. Christ will forgive you. If you're here this morning without Jesus, let me tell you, He loves you. He'll save you. Please listen for His still small voice. Beloved, don't be looking for the thunderbolt. Be listening for the God of heaven. He'll speak to your heart if you want him to. Let's bow for prayer.